Okay, good morning everybody and welcome. This morning we're going to continue in the series that we've been conducting on parenting. And today's topic is about biblical corrective discipline, also known as the rod of correction. So we're going to have a look at the rod of correction. There's a story about Ted Tripp. Some of you may know him. He's one of the, I think, one of the better teachers on the topic of parenting. But Ted and his wife had a young couple over for dinner one night, and one of Ted's sons became a little bit unruly. So Ted took him upstairs, said to him, "Meet me upstairs." And the young lady asked Ted's wife, "Why are they going upstairs?" So Ted's wife said, "Because he's going to give him a hiding." And this lady was visibly distressed. She actually left their home. So physical punishment is a sensitive area. And in America, you even have an organization called the U.S. Alliance to End the Hitting of Children. And it is. It's very sensitive, and a lot of people are extremely concerned, and rightly so to a degree, because of the abuse that can take place. So today we want to look at God's Word and what God's Word says about the rod of discipline. But as you will see, we have to be very careful that we are not embarking on what is abuse, because that is completely unacceptable and that would not be God's instruction. So let us open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege and the high calling of parenting. Lord, we know that it is not an easy task, and apart from your word, we are in great difficulty. Lord, just as we heard this morning, everything in our life is worship. And so even in this area of parenting, we pray that we would walk in obedience and in faith, and that we would worship you by how we parent. So Lord, give us much grace now as we consider this topic that your word commands us about. And Lord, may we be well taught by your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, we want to understand what is biblical corrective discipline. And in the course so far with different speakers, we've seen that our first calling as parents is to talk to the heart of our children. God is interested in the heart, and as we know, out of the heart flows the way we act and the things we do. But at the same time, the Lord is also interested in behavior. And as parents, we have a role to play in guiding the behavior of our children. So we must understand that we are going to, as parents, be called to shape and fashion the behavior of our children. Now, if we talk about the rod of correction or of physical punishment, many people may ask, well, why is it necessary? Are children not pretty good? You know, I mean, they're cute when they're born. Surely they're pretty neutral. They're morally neutral, and they are really pretty harmless, you know, and it's only as they get older that they learn bad things from other children. But Scripture tells us something else. So let's go and understand first what the issues are in our children that we may need to be using the rod of correction for. Turn with me to the Psalms, and let's read Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 5. So if there's any doubts in our minds about whether a child is a sinner or not, let's see what Scripture says. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So in sin my mother conceived me. We also look at Psalm 58. Go on a few pages to Psalm 58. And we look at verse 3. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. From conception, we are sinners. From birth, we go astray. In Jeremiah 17, we read that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's not just the heart of an adult. It's the heart of a child too. So the problem that we have with ourselves and with our children is that we are sinners. And we need to view our children in the correct light. Scripture then tells us that there's something called the rod. And the rod... Is it still... Oh, there we go. The rod is God's means by which we need to address this and need to address the behavior that flows out of that sin. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." So this folly that Proverbs talks about, that is bound up in the heart of a child, that is not childishness. It's not this, you know, carefree attitude. Folly is what Scripture means when it talks about folly, is a rejection of God and His authority. It is a course that children will set, left to their own devices, to satisfy themselves. They will seek out whatever is going to be the best for them. As we heard this morning about worship, we are self-worshippers. And in worshiping myself, I want what is best for me, and children will do exactly the same. So that folly, as I say, is a very specific rejection of authority. And we must separate, when we talk about the rod, we must separate childish and immature behavior from direct disobedience. Children are small, they're clumsy, they may knock things over, they may make mistakes. I think you've all seen a little child who wants to do more than they are physically capable of. So they'll pull a chair, you know, they'll get up and they'll switch the stove on and you know, they're going to cook dinner or something like that. They're actually, you know, not capable of doing it. But we must just separate the childish and immature behavior. And that needs to be guided and shepherded, but it does not necessarily need the rod of correction. Okay, so we're not talking about that type of behavior. We are really talking here about where the child is really going in direct disobedience to the parent and then indirectly to God, because God has given the parent the authority over the child. So that's the folly that we are talking about here. You know, the Psalms also tell us, Psalm 14 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And that's essentially what is happening when a child is directly disobedient. They are saying, "You are not the authority. God is not the authority. I am the authority, and I'm going to do what I would like." And as we heard last week, in Kevin's teaching, this is all about authority. Okay, and we must understand that we want to bring our children ultimately under God's authority, but one of the channels that happens through is that they learn to live under our authority. So if a child is allowed to really have an attitude and a a heart condition that is disobedient, that constantly rejects authority, that heart attitude will carry through into a teenager and it'll carry through into an adult. And nothing will have changed unless somebody, and that as parents we call to do that, and perhaps later in life it might be somebody else, shows the children clearly that they are under God's authority and that they are on a road of destruction if they are not going to heed to that authority. Okay, so the rod is given to us as a means, one of the means of guiding our children and to really drive that foolishness from their heart. It sounds strange. You think, how can a rod drive foolishness from a child's heart? But as with many things in Scripture, we don't have to perfectly understand them to obey them. God doesn't say, only obey what you understand. There's a number of things that might seem a little bit disconnected for us, but the Lord has given this as one of the means, and we need to actually put it into practice. Let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs also has a lot to say about the child and why we are called to parent in a certain way. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Okay, so this is not a light matter. This is about being an instrument in rescuing the soul of a child. The scripture doesn't say apply the rod so that the child will be a nice person, apply the rod so that, you know, you may have the next president of the country come out of your home. This is about saving a soul. And obviously we know only the Lord can save a soul, but if there isn't direction and correction, then we are actually allowing the soul to go to ruin. So, extremely heavy words that show us that we've got spiritual death, spiritual life, and spiritual death at play here. So, our task as parents is to rescue our children from death, and the rod is a biblical tool of rescue. That's what this is all about. Ted Tripp, that I mentioned earlier, often refers to the rescue mission. He says parents are on a rescue mission, and if you think about it, if somebody's lost out at sea and they are hopeless, you want to get all the resources you can out there. They'll get the Navy and the best equipment, and this is the type of mission we're on. It's just a lot more serious, the rescue mission that we are called to undertake as parents. One of the important things when it comes to the rod is that it's not a matter of venting our anger. Okay, we've got to be very careful, and that's why I said at the outset, this is sensitive because it can become child abuse. And as believers and for our Christian witness, it must never become that. So we must be very careful that we are not in anger and in revenge using the rod on our children. It has to be about a faithful parent that is employing God's given remedy to the situation, but doing it in love, doing it with restraint, doing it consistently. I think that's something that has come up in a number of these parenting sessions. Consistency is absolutely key. So we must be very careful that this is not about us as parents and I insist on being obeyed. We are agents of the Lord. He has put us as authorities over our children. And if as you will know, if anyone gives you, if they delegate authority to you, with that comes responsibility. It's the same as if you are made a member of parliament, you have got authority, but with that comes, well, it should be responsibility. So we must think again very seriously about this and make sure that we are acting as agents of the Lord, not acting of our own anger, frustration, and thereby actually being really disobedient to what the Lord has called us to do. Okay, so let's have a look at what the rod does. What does it achieve for us? And really, the key thing that we want to achieve is wisdom. In Proverbs 29:15, it says that the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. So we want to impart wisdom. That wisdom is an understanding of who God is, that He is authority, that He has given us His Word as the sphere or the arena in which we are to live, and that we want to share that with our children so that they understand what God has called us to in how we live. So really what the rod will do is it will give the child immediate, tactile, in other words, it's something you can feel, it's immediate, and it's tactile demonstration of the foolishness of rebellion. Okay, so we experience things in different ways. Sometimes, you know, we experience them over a long period of time, and we go away and we think about it, and we meditate on it, but then there's other things that we feel immediately, and that's what we want to do, is we want to make an immediate tactile connection that your rebellion is foolish, and you are in a dangerous place, and as a mother or a father, we want to rescue you from that dangerous place. Okay, so that's the one side, and then the other side, we also want them to have an appropriate fear of punishment. Okay, so think about somebody who has grown up with no fear of punishment. In other words, I do what I want, I do it when I want, you know, I can bribe myself out of any situation, and pretty much I'm a free agent. And that's a dangerous place to be. So what we want to do there is we want them to have an appropriate fear of punishment so that they will really understand that there is authority, and if one disobeys that authority, there are consequences. Okay, so the rod. What is the rod? The scripture speaks about the rod. And rather than focus on the instrument itself, I think the rod is, I like the definition here by one writer. It says, the rod is a parent in faith toward God and faithfulness toward his or her children, undertaking the responsibility of careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. Long, long definition, but we'll unpack each of those components. So it's really the parents in faith, in obedience, using God's ordained means carefully, in a restrained way, to rescue the child from foolishness and from death. Okay, so a few components of the rod and biblical corrective discipline. First of all, it's a parental exercise. Okay, if you look in Scripture, the rod of discipline is a parent and a child. Okay, this is not a wholesale authorization for adults to be hitting children. It's generally a parent and a child. There may be situations you know, maybe a grandparent who needs to look after the child for a month, where you can appropriately delegate that authority, but it's not an open permission for all adults to be undertaking the rod of discipline. Secondly, it's an act of faith. Okay, we have a mandate from God to use the rod, and as I said earlier, we obey not because we understand it or we like it, but we obey because God has commanded it. Okay, so it's an act of faith. You need to, as with many other things, faith needs to be exercised. Lord, you have given me this command. I know that it is best for my child, for us as a family, and therefore I'm going to obey. It's an act of faith, and it's also an act of faithfulness. Okay, so it's faithfulness to your child. Okay, it's showing them love and commitment. I love you enough that I do not want you to be in that dangerous place. Ted Tripp, for those who know his material, Shepherding a Child's Heart, he uses the picture of a circle, the circle of safety. Okay, and if children are in that circle, under obedience to their parents and to the Lord, that's a safe place. Okay, outside of that circle, they're in a dangerous place. So we want to show them love and commitment, that that we want to rescue them if they are moving outside of that circle. It's also a responsibility. Okay, it's really about us obeying the Lord. We have a responsibility to obey the Lord. We see often in Scripture where people did not accept their responsibility to lead the nation or lead a family in a certain way, and we see the consequences for that. So there's a responsibility. As I've mentioned before, it's a measured use of physical punishment. Okay, it's measured and controlled. And this is extremely important. We'll discuss it a little bit in the next few minutes. But we cannot vent anger in discipline. That is not what we are allowed to do or called to do. So for each child, depending on age, you would need to know what is an appropriate level of using the rod. Some children, you know, it's they see the rod and there's a heart change. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't still administer the rod, but other children may be a little bit more hardy and persistent, and the rod needs to be used perhaps more or more regularly. But still, it must be measured and controlled. And then, as I said earlier, we're on a rescue mission, and we are really going to each day have a very visible picture in our homes of what God did for us, that He went, He came and He sought us, He found us and He rescued us. And so what we want to do is we want to also use the rod of correction to rescue our children. If people say that they love their children too much to administer the rod, then the Bible says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Proverbs 13:24. So again, we are surrounded with a popular culture. We are surrounded with a very postmodern way of thinking, and it's a very real thing in places in the world. Even amongst if you look in America, people who biblically practice corrective discipline, they actually are very careful where they do it, because there is a reality of people being arrested and charges being pressed against them. So that's the stage that we've gotten to. But Scripture tells us that we need to love our children in being careful to discipline them. It is an act of love. Okay, so a couple of practical things. How do we use the rod? Basically, as I mentioned earlier, if a child has understood a instruction or a command and they do not obey that, okay, then so there's open defiance to your command, then there's an appropriate reason to apply the rod. But we must also be mindful that a child can semi-obey. So we must also see, is there a challenge? Okay, so sometimes you will get half obedience, but you will get a challenge. That's also an appropriate time to use the rod. You may get a whole list of excuses. Okay, that must also be dealt with. This is not a bargaining session. And it also needs to be without delay. Okay, so no challenge, no excuse, no delay. And then, as I say, if there is a direct rejection or defiance of your instruction, then the rod needs to be applied. How should it be applied? We've got a very short period of time. I mean, this is something we could probably discuss for two sessions. But just a couple of, important principles that you can take into account. Take your child to a place of privacy, okay? It's not going to help if there is a major altercation between you and the child on the bus, you know, and you dishing out hidings. There needs to be a place of privacy where you can speak, because this is not just about dishing out a hiding. It's about explaining what is happening. It's about examining the heart of the child, getting a response from the child, so that you also have an opportunity to administer the gospel in that situation. So a place of privacy, you don't want to humiliate the child. That is never going to be helpful or appropriate. One needs to tell the child exactly what they have done. Okay, there shouldn't be doubt. Sometimes in our sinfulness as parents and our laziness, we allow things to accumulate. So you kind of keep a mental score during the day, and then by about 6 o'clock, you just, that's it. And then you dish out a hiding, and the child's not really sure what that was for, because, you know, it's like, you know, but I've done okay today. So you must be very careful not to build up this emotional bank balance that you then say, okay, now I'm going to let you have it. And that's why it is hard work. We need to deal situation by situation. If you talk to some of the mothers in the church, they'll say, you know, I feel like that's all I do. And sometimes there is a period where a lot of that is happening, okay? But be very specific that you tell them, you have disobeyed daddy or you have disobeyed mommy. This is what happened. They need to be clear. They must acknowledge that that is what took place, okay? So if I'm just standing there and shouting at the child and the child's just completely overawed, that's not going to be helpful either. They need to acknowledge what they have done. And, you know, if you think about it, once you have received that acknowledgement, the child should actually be aware of, you know, what happens. And you should say to the child, you know, I'm going to give you a hiding. And so they must be clear. This shouldn't be a kind of a foreign thing for them. Also important that the disobedience is linked to God's authority. So it's not just about them disobeying you. We need to remind our children that God has given us a mandate And that is why we call for their obedience, because God is an authority over us, and he has placed us as an authority over the child. Okay, and then we come to applying the rod. Again, there are different, we've spoken with many people about the actual instrument that is used. I can tell you right up front that my wife and I chose not to use a particular object, so we have always used our hands, but I know most people would use a particular object, a spoon, a stick, something like that. But what needs to happen is that there needs to be an appropriate amount of pain that is felt. Okay, so you decide. Some children, you know, if it's winter like today, a kid's going to have like 4 layers of clothes on. You can hit them on that; they're not going to feel a thing. Okay, so you will know what the appropriate clothing is that would need to. Be present so that there is something that is felt. And again, we don't want to, you know, cause bruising and that type of thing to a child. That is just completely unnecessary. So between a husband and a wife, my advice is that you agree on how it will be done. As I say, some children feel very little. Other children seem to feel a lot. For those guys who were at school in the days where they still used to hit us, I don't know if you remember, you know, there were all kinds of devices that we would use and put in our pants so that it didn't hurt, and it still hurt anyway. So just, you know, think about that and then, you know, apply the rod. Very important that you do allow the child to calm down after the spanking, hug them, give them love, remind them that you are doing it because of love. Then again, just ask them, why did it happen? You know, why is this taking place? And bring them back to their hearts, and that, as a parent, I'm a sinner. As a child, you're a sinner. And that is why Christ was sent by the Lord. And so connect it again to the gospel. And then, depending on the age, pray with them. Well, not depending on the age, but the prayer would be different. So some children may not pray themselves, but pray for them. Okay, they need to understand that this is all taking place in the context of a loving relationship where our greatest desire is to rescue them. And that, that really, again, doesn't help if you administer the hiding and then storm out of the room, okay? Because what's left there then is a gap between the parent and the child. The child will probably be wondering, are you going to harbor anger against them? And just as the Lord says that he forgives and our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west, we must show our children that that incident is dealt with, it's done, and you know, we're not building up, as I said, a bank balance of anger against them. Right, so just to give you an idea, something that I read, a father asked his 10-year-old son, what the son thought was important for parents to know about spanking, about the rod. And this is what a 10-year-old said. I think it's really important that you tell us that there's good news, because without it, we'd be without redemption. You would be enforcing the law with no hope without a savior. So that's what a 10-year-old really put. I think an adult couldn't put it better. So we need to actually be making sure that we are talking to them about the hope. This is not just an exercise of punishment. It's about a lot more than that. Okay, so a couple of questions that I'd like us to just chat a bit about. And Thanks. If we can... Okay, let me ask you as parents and those who maybe aren't, but you have seen other parents in operation. Why is it so difficult to administer the rod consistently? Why is it so difficult? And we tend to just to let things go. You know, I'm just going to let things ride. Why does that happen in your life, in your house? What are the challenges that we have? Because it's not easy. So I'd like to hear from you some of the reasons why we are sometimes inconsistent with the rod of discipline. Okay, no, nobody's inconsistent. Thanks, Kevin. I thought it was just me.
Obviously, it's because it takes time. Mm. And we always feel like we're rushed. You gave us some guidelines there where you said, first of all, it must be in private. Secondly, we need to explain the process to the child. And afterwards, too, you need to spend a bit of time showing love and concern for the child. And that all takes time. So I think that's why we're inconsistent, really, is because something might happen. Maybe we're not in the right place where we can exercise discipline, or we feel we haven't got time because we're moving on to the next thing. So I think that's what I found, is it's generally you feel it's just too much effort and too much time at that point when it should be done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time-consuming, it's hard work, it's not pleasant. So, you know, like you have things in your day that, you know, you'd rather not do. And obviously, you know, using the rod of discipline is not pleasant. But again, the issue isn't whether we like it or whether we feel like it. The issue is obedience to God. So being consistent, investing that time. We've seen wonderful examples of young families in our home. They come visit us. You know, let's say they're there for 3 hours over a meal. We get to see the father for an hour and a half, and we get to see the mother for an hour and a half, because one of them is almost constantly in the bathroom with one of the children. And it's just consistent. You know, you might think, I'm at somebody's house. You know, oh, I'm just going to let it ride. But they don't let it ride. So, we need to be aware of that. It does take time. It takes effort. The other question is that is sometimes asked is, instead of a hiding or a spanking, as we say, Americans say, can't I use time out? You know, isn't time out a suitable alternative? Is time out a suitable alternative to the rod of discipline?
No. At some point, my daughter even started singing while in timeout and playing with her hair. And then I knew it's not working. Yeah. But then at the time, she was too small initially for me to hit her. At least that's what I thought. But I think it works to a certain point, and then it's just, they get used to it. They know, okay, if I do this, I'll go for timeout and I'll be out of there. So personally, it's a no-go.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, those are the two. So first of all, time out is not commanded in Scripture. Okay, the rod is. And secondly, time out is. My wife, Audre, often tells a story where, you know, if there were problems in the home, her parents would say, you know, go to your room. You can't watch television. And Audre doesn't like television. So she's like, wow, lovely. Thank you. You know, I get to go to my room. You can lie there. You can read a book. You know, it really is, as the lady said, it's a man-made alternative. And so be very careful with time out. As you get to know your children, if you observe that your child is tempted to sin, okay, you can pick up, for instance, when they're playing, you can see something's coming. You know, the one's getting a little bit belligerent and quite aggressive with a sibling or a friend, you may want to take them aside and say, just let's go and sit one side and talk about what I see is coming, okay? That's, if you want to call that a timeout, probably wouldn't call it a timeout, but that's appropriate. Let's avert the sin before it happens. So that is something that that I think we can utilize. But the timeout itself is not a means given to us by Scripture. Okay, what do you do if you are angry? Okay, so you are really, and remember there is righteous anger. Okay, Scripture obviously tells us about righteous anger, but this is unrighteous anger. You are angry, and something has happened. What do you do then? So yeah, Lewis. Okay, the mic's on its way.
I think you really need to take a time out yourself. You cannot discipline a child in anger. Mm. You have to. You can send the child to the bedroom or to where you discipline, and say, "I'll be right there in a few minutes." And then you need to pray that the Lord will give you the right attitude, so you can go to the child. Mm. But you can never. Disciplining anger.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's well put. So sometimes we need a timeout. So don't avoid the opportunity of corrective discipline. Perhaps send the child ahead. Go on your own. Pray. If you're a husband and a wife together, which is not all the time. Perhaps if the father's extremely angry, call the wife and maybe ask her to take care of the disciplining. But make sure that you enter the situation with a heart that is intent on loving the child in that discipline, a heart that wants to obey the Lord in that situation, and that you're not going in there with, "I'm going to now get revenge, and I've had enough." Because often we, there's a whole lot of other things going on there. Rita.
Evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So the moment when, what you said, if there's, if you can see sin is coming in terms of siblings maybe fighting whatever, you are actually using this biblical principle of teaching them to withdraw from sin. And that's exactly what you as parent needs to do when you want to punish your child in anger. You have to, it's here where it is, you are tempted by your own evil desire. Mm-hmm. So when you get to that point in this process of sin, you can actually teach your children and teach yourself to literally turn away, round, and go away before you get there. So then you sort yourself out and then you go further. So it's a biblical principle that you're teaching your children.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the very thing that we want to teach our children, we need to apply in our own lives. They need to see it in practice, they need to know. If you think about it, again, let's take it back to the gospel. If God dealt with us out of his anger, we know what would happen. But he had mercy on us, and his long-suffering. And we need to mirror that to our children. So let's be careful. And if all of that, if you cannot take your own heart captive, if your spouse isn't available, my advice would be then actually not to administer the discipline. Okay, and perhaps tell the child that is the reason. Was there, sorry, just over here, Graham?
What you've just said there is very crucial, that we ourselves as parents need to be walking correctly before the Lord and actually setting the example in the home for so many issues that happen that cause problems. If we're not doing that, then I think Luis is correct that we need to really take a time out in our own lives and get our own lives sorted out before we try and start sorting out our children so that they will all realize where we're coming from.
Yeah.
If we're not doing that, we have a problem. It amazes me that if you go through Proverbs, how often this issue of foolishness and fools comes up. Because here in 22 verse 15 it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Mm. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And you read through other passages where we are called upon to be wise in doing things. And if we're not doing that, we're actually generating a nice little stew there that's going to cause us lots of problems.
Yeah.
And just before I put the mic down, I think a lot of fear is in people today with where the laws of the countries are going to, that your child can actually go and report you for battering them, and so that we shy away from doing that. So there's a lot that we need to have running correctly in our own lives when we're dealing with disciplining our children.
Yeah.
I wish I had it when I was growing up. My church never taught us that. So count the blessings that we, especially for those who are growing, coming up with younger kids now, they're having the opportunity to understand what the biblical pattern is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Moshe there at the back. Get a mic there.
Okay, we're having a challenge with our four-year-old, Itu. And the issue is that she doesn't want to be spanked. She screams and kicks and, you know, fight. So I wanted to know, you know, practically how do you deal with it? We spoke with some of our friends and they, you know, one of the recommendations was that you tell her, look, I'm going to give you an extra one because you're fighting and kicking, so you're still disobeying. And, immediately you mentioned that she just go wild. She screams. One of the things that we've tried, we thought maybe she's not, you know, she doesn't understand, you know, discipline, what is it is, and try to teach her, and as well as, you know, teach her the grace, you know, God's grace, in a sense that sometimes I'll just speak with her, say, you know, this deserved a spank, but I will just overlook it. Because of, you know, Christ suffered on our behalf. But she's still, you know, sometimes, most of the time, she's like traumatized when you want to give her, you know, some spank. So it can be discouraging not to continue, you know, using the rod. So, maybe somebody can share on how do they deal with that. And, I mean, she's a lady. She's a girl, not a guy. I wonder if... It was a boy.
Thank you for that. I think that's a very good and practical example. So the two things I would have said immediately, I think you've done both. the first one is that outside of a disciplining situation, to talk to her about discipline, you know, so because the disciplining situation itself can often involve a lot of tears and emotions, so apart from that, to spend time with her, talking about God's command to you as a parent, why we discipline. If you look at the commandment, honor your parents so that you may live long. You know, we are, our desire is to save their souls. So to talk to her, as I say, outside of the disciplining event, which I think you have. I think that's quite important. And then if there is resistance, again, appropriately, but one would need to deal with that resistance. Okay, so she mustn't, you know, come to realize that the more you know, out of control she gets, the more you back off. So you must, and if it means saying, you're continuing your disobedience, and therefore there's going to be an extra hiding, then that's what you do. So I think you've done both of those. So I just go back to a word, and that word is consistent. All I can vouch from, and I think many other parents would, is that things go through phases. So you may feel like, oh, this is going to continue for the next 5 years. But, you know, children are at a certain age, and that might be, but if you and your wife are consistent, I believe the Lord, you know, will give grace there that she'll also move out of that phase. Any other experiences from parents to address what Moshe said? Lewis? Yeah, so that's maybe not particularly to your situation, but that's another important principle, is when we have disciplined incorrectly out of anger, or we have humiliated the child or whatever, they need to see biblical forgiveness in action. And parents, there is nothing wrong with asking your child for forgiveness. Doesn't mean that you hand over authority to them. It just means there are times where you may need to ask them for forgiveness. Kevin?
You raised earlier Ted Tripp's circle and a concept that he has. And I think one thing that we can apply, and it doesn't only apply to applying the rod, but actually generally teaching our children obedience, is don't forget the children, when they're small, are very visual. Well, they take in information much quicker and better when it's visual. Yes. And it's also the reason why the rod works, is because it's tactile. So children are tactile and they're visual. So when we explain to our children, don't forget to use visual concepts. Okay. So you could actually draw that circle for them and show them when they're outside the circle, this is dangerous. Mm. And actually that discipline is getting them back inside the circle. Yep. So we found that actual visual interpretation of what's happening around the discipline can help. Mm. Same thing with authority. You can actually draw authority structures. You can show how dad is under the authority of God, or dad is under the authority of the government. Hence, the child is under the authority of dad. So, just a little bit of advice, practical advice, which we found working is visual. Yeah. Visually, you can help explain.
Yeah, I mean, you could even draw something on the ground, you know, with chalk, draw the circle on the ground. You know, you're in the circle, you're out of the circle. Yeah, I think that's... For the younger ones, a very valuable way of illustrating it. Okay, one of the other questions, what if we're not at home? All right, so home is obviously a more controllable space. The child probably knows exactly, you know, where they're going to go. You don't have to say, meet me in the bathroom. They'll know. But what if you're not at home? And again, as I said, we don't want to humiliate a child. We must be careful of our own witness. Out in public, if it just gets out of control. So I think what is important here is that if you're at, for instance, somebody else's home. Again, it's a defined environment. You can administer discipline there. If you're out at the shops, it might be a bit more difficult, but perhaps you can find a private space. Generally, if children are a bit older, you can tell them that they have been disobedient and there will be consequences. And then you can wait until you get home. They can remember, okay? And you can deal with it at home. With little children, it's a bit more difficult. But we need to, again, use, I think, wisdom in how we go about it, that we are, again, just administering the rod appropriately, and making sure that we are also honoring the Lord in it. Okay, last point or question is, if you apply this and you apply it consistently, children are consistently being disobedient, will you just be continuously dishing out hidings? You know, isn't that a bit much? You know, shouldn't there be a limit? Otherwise, all I'm doing is giving hidings. And that's all that parenting's about. Any experiences on that, where you maybe felt when they were little like this was all you were ever going to do, but it has shown itself to be different? Yeah.
Maybe I can just tell, my kids are a bit, well, I nearly have teenagers now. The oldest is a teenager already, but I remember the first 3 years at least, that was all I did. And I can still remember phoning my dad one day crying, is this all what's parenting about? And he just laughed. He said, yes, for the first few years, that's all. And now I really can say that I can't remember when the last time was that I've given a hiding. So it's really worthwhile to persevere those first few years. And obviously some children will take longer than other ones, but by God's grace, if you do it correctly without anger, the Lord says that He's faithful and that He will bless you. So persevere. Yeah. Even if they are trying to manipulate you, not bending down over the bed, persevere. They will eventually.
Yeah, so it might seem extremely discouraging, I think, especially if you have a number of children close in age. But as Rieta says, the Lord is faithful, and the discipline lays a foundation, and it is. I can testify to that as well. You'll find a time where it's not very seldom necessary, and then eventually not necessary at all. There will still be discipline, but it comes in different forms. Yes.
Okay, thank you. A lot of us come from different cultural backgrounds. There's the really modern Western culture that the child is mature and they know, and so you shouldn't discipline them. Then there's the extreme end where the child is 25 and the parent still wants to discipline them. Those are extreme examples. But just in principle, what biblical principle can we use in when a child... when physical discipline stops and when you administer other forms of discipline?
Okay, so a great question. Where does the rod end? I think scripturally we don't get an exact age, and one of the reasons is that people are different, you know, and for a number of things. It's the same as scripture doesn't give a particular age for marriage. You know, different people will get married at different ages. One of the authors that I read said that from the time you get into double digits, which is the age of 10, you generally see quite a decline in the rod of correction. I'm not saying that is a golden rule applicable to all children. Some children, you know, at the age of 10 might still be, you know, like a five-year-old, you know, and at 12, they're like a seven-year-old. They just, they're always in trouble. So I would say look at it by a child-by-child basis. But, you know, if you're getting into the teens and the mid-teens, I think the rod is perhaps then just going to be humiliating. You know, I mean, the child is a lot stronger. You know, they feel, think of a young man at 15 or whatever, you know, it's going to take quite a lot to make an impression with a rod. And as I said, it can actually just be humiliating. So, yeah, I don't think there's a specific age, but I do like the one author spoke about from double digits. things will start declining a bit. But then, as you say, there are. It doesn't mean that discipline stops at all, and we still need to guide and shepherd our children. Yeah. You can explain that to me afterwards, Graham. Yes.
I have a question with regards to the use of the rod. Is it strictly limited to a parent and their child, or it can extend on to maybe an aunt and a niece or an adult sibling and a younger sibling? Would that still be permissible?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it earlier. Scripture always talks in the context of a parent and a child. But there may be times in a very specific situation. Imagine if parents, for instance, need to go away for a month, and they're left in the care of a highly trusted, godly person. So, I don't think unbelievers have any role to play in using the rod on our children. But let's say your parents are both believers; they have the same view as you on discipline, and the child needs to be with them for an extended period. As long as you agree with them, the situation, the way it's done, and that type of thing, I would say there might be a valid reason for them to use the rod, only because you have given them, that authority for a period of time. But generally, it's between the parent and the child. That again, it's a safe relationship that God has given us for that to be controlled within. As I say, a lot of the guys here grew up, at school we were constantly hit. And if I think back, I don't think it achieved a whole lot. It was pretty unpleasant as well. Right. Any other questions? All right, just in closing, again, many of you have perhaps seen just two things I want to recommend. TED Trip, Shepherding a Child's Heart. There's a whole DVD series. This is just the Parents' Handbook. Absolutely superb. It's deep, really, really deep, and that's worth looking at. And then, obviously, their parents did something good. His brother, Paul, Paul Tripp, he's got a DVD series called Getting to the Heart of Parenting, a lot shorter, although it captures most of the same principles, and that's also extremely worthwhile. Many other resources. Don't feel that you're on your own. Don't be discouraged. I'll perhaps leave you with Hebrews 12:11 that says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And that's what we want. We want a harvest of righteousness and peace for our children. You don't want a harvest of chaos and unrighteousness for your child. We have the promise in Scripture that discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And we can take courage in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are not only a God who has given us your law and given us clear instructions and commands, but you are also a God who gives us mercy and grace. Lord, thank you that we as parents can look to you and trust you that if we obey you, you would be faithful to us. We pray for our children. Lord, thank you for them. We pray that they would grow up to know the fear of the Lord, and that they would bow before you, that they would embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, because of the many things that you have done in their lives, one of them just being using us as parents. So we thank you, Lord, for your for this time and for your word that has taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.